We need to move on and talk about the message for 2017. The message that I want to tell you from the scripture and the message that the Lord has put on my heart. And I'm so excited. I got so many things to say. Sometimes I talk fast, so you're going to have to bear with me. Can you bear with me this morning? I say God is good. There we go. I was trying to teach some of the new people, right? So we like to say, when we say God is good, we say all the time because we believe that God is good all the time, even when we don't feel him being good all the time. Even when life gets a little difficult, like the storms come in and the winds come in and the floods come in, God is still good. So we like to remind ourselves that all the time God is good. So when we say God is good, we reply with all the time. God is good and all the time. That's a reminder. All right, let's look at this picture. This is another one of those forced perspective pictures. I love forced perspective. It's a picture where you have something in front of something, but you frame it in such a way that allows it to look like something else. God does this in your life all the time, by the way. We did a message about this. But this is what they refer to as the Leaning Tower of Pisa. Everyone knows this photo, right? Has anyone never seen this picture of the Leaning Tower of Pisa? Everyone has seen this picture, hopefully. Let me talk about this Leaning Tower of Pisa for a second. First, it's in Italy. So if you go see it, take me with you. Two, it's about 185 feet tall, and it is leaning a lot. By a lot, it's leaning about 17 feet. In other words, the topmost part of it is 17 feet more south than the bottom part. Now, some of you may say, well, this is not good. You don't build a house and then have it lean, or build a piece of architecture that costs a lot of money, a lot of time. Somebody may say, that sounds like a rush job. They didn't get that right. They spent 200 years building this thing. And then it started leaning. So it's not like they didn't know what they were doing. Recently, 1990, then again in 2002, I believe, they began to restructure this thing because it was falling on the city. That sounds dangerous. And so they spent $25 million to restructure this. 110 tons of dirt to put under this that they had to move. And you know when they did this, when they put this dirt under it and they put this $25 million, they were able to reduce the lean by a whopping 16 inches. That may not seem like a lot to you, but in building, that's a big deal. You're off by a quarter of an inch, and you spread it over 180 feet, and it's gonna present itself a big mess on your hands. The question is, was this a result of poor workmanship? Was it a result of a bad design? Was it a result of bad architecture? As a matter of fact, people believed so for so long that the architect who originally did it didn't want to publicize that he did it, and it took him about 100 and some years to figure out who was actually the original architect because no one wanted to fess up. The point is, the problem wasn't with the architecture, wasn't with the design, it wasn't with the workmanship, and it wasn't with the hard work they put in. You know what the problem with the Leaning Tower of Pisa is? It's pretty obvious. Anyone? It's the foundation. It's sagging, and it's sagging bad. They built it on the wrong foundation. So today, what I want to talk to you about, the message, the title of the message, and the thought I want you to think about is this: foundation evaluation. So what do I mean by this? It's 2017, and like I said, as I was praying earlier and the Lord to inspire us, that in New Year's resolutions, often is the case is we want to make a resolution, we want to change something in our life. We want to have something new. We want to do something new. We want to start a new habit and perhaps change the schedule, this routine in our life, or you know, whatever, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. There's a lot of things new we want to do. But I've discovered in this concept of new is that if you build something new on something that is previously bad, like a bad foundation, it won't last very long. Are you following me? And so most of us here, you know, I think most of us know the Lord or are searching for the Lord and are Christians. And so I don't need to talk too much about that Jesus needs to be our foundation. I think you can pretty much understand that since you're in church today, and that's going to be what I'm going to talk about. So what I want to talk about is if we agree that today that Jesus is our foundation, and all of us can ascribe to that, then what I want you to assess is I want you to crawl down into your crawl space or go down into your spiritual, you know, dark area under your house and look at your spiritual foundation and start determining if there's any settlement cracks. You know, you can see settlement cracks all through your house, right? You can see pop nails. You can see cracks in the walls. These are all examples that the house is settling. And I want you to look down as you're going in and saying, okay, now look at the foundation. Is there any cracks now in the actual foundation that is causing that? So I want you to think about your foundation. Okay, I want to read this story again. Anyone who listens to my teaching and follows it is wise, like a person who builds a house on solid rock. Though the rain comes and the torrents and the floodwaters rise and the winds beat against that house, it will not collapse because it is built on bedrock. But anyone who hears my teaching and doesn't obey it is foolish, like a person who builds a house on sand. When the rains and the floods come and the winds beat against that house, it will collapse with a mighty crash. Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that you allow your living word to come inside as good seed into our houses. Lord, I pray right now that you would prepare the soil of our hearts and allow your fruit to bear as we hear your word. Lord, make it clear to us as we go through and try to understand what you are saying. In Jesus' name, and church says, amen. Foundation evaluation. Okay, here we go. So the first thing I want to point out about this story is pretty simple. When I look at these stories and I look at them side by side, I contrast them. They're pretty simple here. There's only five verses. And when you look at these two stories, there's a couple things that are obvious to me. The first thing, storms. Storms. Well, the storms are in both stories. What am I saying? Guys, I'm saying storms are coming. Storms have come to us all. Whether you're a Christian today and on fire for the Lord, whether you're seeking God and not sure, and whether you have decided to rebuke God or whether you've decided that there is no God, the reality is rain falls on the just and the unjust. There is storms in your life regardless of your worldview and your belief system. The Bible talks about it. Jesus talks about it. He says the storms will come. The winds will come. The floods will come. Do you guys realize that we live in a life that's difficult? Life is hard. I don't have all the answers. I don't. When the storms come, I don't know what to do all of the time. But I do know that praying that they won't come is not an option, because they will come. It's how we get through them that matters. And this is what Jesus is trying to teach us. The storms will come. Sometimes the storms will stop right short of our patio, wherever Laura is. She has an example of the storms in New Jersey that stopped right short. And then in New Orleans, you know, all those terrible storms, some of these pictures you're going to see are from that. Like this one, this was in North Carolina, I believe, with one of the bigger storms that happened. This is a beautiful home. It doesn't look so beautiful now. This is a home that was built with tremendous craftsmanship. It had a fantastic design. It was great handiwork. And you know what? None of those things mattered when the storm came. What am I saying? What is Jesus saying? I'm making it try as simple as I can. That even if you put your life together with all of the greatest ingenuity and intellect, if you put your life together with the greatest plans laid by men, with the most time and diligence, with the greatest thinking and care and preparation, the Bible is telling us that if you do that, and you do not build that on Christ, when the storms come, your house and your life will struggle. And there will be a great fall, the Bible says. I don't want to see you guys go through great falls. When the storms come, I want to see you guys be able to endure these storms. And so when the storms come, the Bible says if we build our house on sand, if we build our house on sand, this will happen, regardless of how beautiful we think our house is. Are you with me, church? Okay. Now, if I took a closer look at this story, and there's not much to this story, right? You've heard the verse, but I took a close look at this story, and I realized something else that was really, it was pretty insightful, I think, the Lord was sharing with me, so I want to share it with you. And in order to do this, I need to actually put the story side by side, and so on the screen here, we have the verses in Matthew chapter 7 is where this story comes from, so you can look it up in your Bible and see if your Bible says the same thing. It will. And on verse 24, it talks about anyone who hears my teaching and builds it on the rock. And then in verse 26, you got anyone who hears my teaching and builds it on the sand. So the first thing that struck me about this, the first thing is I counsel people all the time. Within church, we talk about how to make better decisions. We talk about what God's will is. We talk about what the Bible says of how to instruct your life. We do that all the time. And I counsel or have conversations or give advice to friends outside of church all the time, not in the context of a pastorship, not in the context of the Bible. And we talk about life and we have discussions all the time. And we see bad decisions and good decisions. And often is the case is if I sit down in isolation and I have a conversation with someone and I say, what's the difference between those who make good decisions and those who make bad decisions? In church, you would say, well, the person who makes good decisions, you know, they hear the word of God. They know the word of God. And the person who makes bad decisions, well, they don't. They're working off their own script. You hear that all the time. Here's what's very interesting about this story. Jesus is saying very clearly, that there are two builders. There are two kinds of people. And both of these people are going to hear his voice. Both these people are going to hear his teaching. Both these people are going to hear who Jesus is. In other words, it's not enough to just know who Jesus is. It's not enough just to come to church. It's not enough just to listen to his word. It's not enough just to hear him. It's not enough just to come and sit in this building and say you are a Christian. Both stories have that. Everyone in this room can hear his word right now. That's not enough. Also, I want to share it this way. The story doesn't give many options. It only gives two. Two options. And you know how the story ends. You know in this story that there are two outcomes, a good one and a bad one. And I go back and I look at that and I say, okay, there were two bad outcomes and there were two different foundations. And I think about that and then I think, okay, but these people, both of them heard the word of God. Both of them are hearing teaching. And so what's the difference? Well, before I get to the difference, I want to point out one more thing. There's only two. There's not three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine different 10 options. The world wants you to believe there are all these options for truth, that you can ascribe this religion or that religion. You can look at this type of teaching or that type of philosophy, and then you can weigh through it and discover what your own truth is. And when you discover what that truth is, it'll make you happy and successful, and it'll get you through all the storms of life. Really? Really? Because I have plenty of people who come to office who have tried that, and it does not get you through the storms of life. And have just as many people who have listened to a message like this and who have changed their life based on the very simple principle I'm about to say next. And by that principle, they've gotten through the storms of life. Well, what is that principle? So as I look at this, I say, okay, two groups of people, and they both heard God's word. So what is the difference? What is the difference here? Well, if I look at the whole story and I say, okay, and then I begin to highlight the parts that I believe are the most different, I would say it's these two parts. In the first one, it has somebody following Jesus' words. And in the second one, we have somebody not following Jesus' words. In the King James, it uses the word doing. It actually says those who do it and those who doeth it not. In the New International Version, some other version uses the word put into action. This version is using the word following it and obeying it. Do you get my point yet? Are you catching my drift? Are you understanding what I'm pointing out to you? That no matter what your background in Christianity is, no matter how long you've been on a faith walk with God, no matter what you think about Jesus Christ today, if you want to build your house on the foundation that is strong, on a rock foundation that is solid, on a strong spiritual foundation that won't falter during the storms, you need to do something. And if you don't do something, if you just sit on it, if you ponder it, if you think about it, if you don't act on it, Jesus says that's equivalent to building your spiritual house on sand. What am I saying? I'm saying, and so I have this little saying here, that a solid foundation is a result of action. It's a result of action. So guys, when you want to make these resolutions and you want to change your life, what I'm telling you is you need to work first on your foundation, and your foundation is a result of action. When you put a foundation down, it's a lot of manual labor. You have to use, you know, backhoes and dump trucks. It's a lot of work to build a foundation for a house, and if you do it by hand, it's an even more tedious and strenuous job. It's a lot of work. It requires action. Church. Okay. So if you're following me, I want to talk a little bit. So I have some time here. I want to talk a little bit with you, church, about what I see at Kingsway for a moment. So when I say when I think of this scripture, it's talking about the action that people are putting into their life, but putting his scriptures into action. And on the other hand, it's talking about hearing his words. So the first thing I did is said, okay, when you go back and look at Matthew chapter 7, it says, anyone who hears my message. Anyone who heareth my message, it says. So what is Jesus' message? This is what I think is so interesting. I want to talk to you a little bit about what I discovered. If I went back and said, okay, over this last year, and this last year has been a big transition for Kingsway. For those new people here, Kingsway has gone through a massive, massive transition. Just a year ago, we were talking about closing the doors. And now, a year later, we're in a very different state, a very different position. And if you look over that year, we've preached a number of messages and series. If I go back and look at those messages and series, and I picked out the five ones that were, you know, got the most attention, or the five messages that people seem to speak to them the most and that bared the most fruit, I would say it was these. I would say there was a message I did called Backseat Road Trip, about a spiritual journey, right? About Jesus is the path. That message got a lot of positive feedback. The Lord was speaking to people's lives. Another message I did was called Be Fruitful, Multiply, talking about the seeds in your life and the harvest series. And people's lives began to change based on some of the principles in that message. There was another message I did called The Others, talking about not being judgmental. And instead, when people come in our doors, to be forgiving, to be loving, to bless others, bless people, bless others. We talked about that. Another message that the Lord really spoke to us on was What's in a Name. We talked about the Great I Am series, who God is, and really knowing who God is. Okay? Then there was another one, a last one. The fifth one, it's the one I just recently did, around Christmas time, around depending on Daddy. Depending on Daddy. This was about the surprises that come in through life and expecting the unexpected and understanding that God gives us good surprises because he's our Father and he wants to, just like he did on Christmas. Now, here's what's interesting, church. I want you to listen. This is for you, Kingsway, who's been here for the last year. I looked at those five messages, and then I went to Matthew chapter 7, and I read this thing about the solid foundation, and it says, anyone who listens to my teachings, well, is he talking about all of his teachings? Well, there's a lot he hasn't taught yet, and so, or is he talking about what he just taught about in Matthew chapter 7 when he sat down and started teaching everybody? I don't know, so I figured I'd go ahead and read all of Matthew chapter 7. Do you know, in Matthew chapter 7, Jesus preached 5 points. 5 points in Matthew chapter 7, and would you know that those 5 points he preached are exactly those five messages that I preached over 2016. I want you to think about that for a second. Because to me, this was a revelation. This is a revelation. What do I mean by that? I think that we as Kingsway, we were wondering what we were doing last year. We were wondering who was going to be our pastor last year. We were wondering what was going to happen to us this year. We were wondering what the future was. And a lot of us, we thought, you know, the leaders got together and we said, what is our goal for 2016? What's our goal? Where are we going to be at the end of 2016? And you know what we said? Behind closed doors, I don't mind sharing with you. I'm a very transparent guy. I'll share anything you want to know about Kingsway. Share the finances. I'll share what's going on, the good and the bad. And I'll share, you know, when it's appropriate, the things that we talk about behind closed doors once we come to an agreement. And in this case, we said, you know what? It's pretty obvious what our goal for 2016 is. Survive. We didn't want to close the doors. We wanted to still be here. The church was struggling. The church was struggling financially. It was struggling with attendance. It was struggling in every way it could be struggling. We didn't even have a pastor. We didn't know who the pastor was going to be. Okay. Then what happened? Then what happened, church? Now, I know everyone's not here today. There's only a subset of our whole congregation. But there's enough of you here today to remember what happened. What happened? Well, we got together, and we got a new leadership team, and we began to think, and we began to pray, and we began to do. What did we do? Let's talk about it. A year in review. Church, listen to this. We started to put his faith and his teaching into action. We preached those five series. We took those points and those principles that Jesus taught us. We put them into action. What happened? Well, the first thing we did is we invested in families and communities. That's what we did. Invested in families and communities. We did VBS to a whole new degree. We did youth camp, which was fantastic. We did Sunday summer movie nights. We did Harvest Fest, where we had 500 and some people come from the community. And we've poured into our children's ministry. That's investing in families and in our community. Amen. Church, that doesn't sound like a church whose doors are closed and who's struggling. That sounds like a church who's trying to help and support this community and this church. What else did we do? Let's talk about this. Here's another thing we did. We invested in worship and our leadership. What do I mean by that? Well, the first thing is this. We completely transformed our deacon board. We have a next generation deacon board. It's unheard of. We have multi-generations, multi-gender, multi-backgrounds on our deacon board. We do not agree on anything. That is not what deacon boards around America are like. And we meet for hours on end trying to figure out what we need to do. Think about that for a second. We have millennials debating with boomers about how to run church. Think about that for a second. That's an investment in our church. We completely regenerated our pastoral team. It's not just me. I am not the only pastor here. Yeah, I'm one of the guys who speaks. Pastor Chris, you heard speak earlier. You have Pastor Bridget, my wife. Amber, who's our worship leader, is also a licensed pastor. You also have Brother Bill, who's my assistant pastor. You also have Brother Clarence, who's our senior pastor. Look at all the pastors that we have in this church. Pastoral team. What else did we do, church? This is my favorite. Of all the things, we have the most dedicated, the most talented, and the most spirit-filled worship team that I've ever been around. We invested in them, and we continue to invest in them. That is us putting Jesus' teaching into action. That's having faith that the Lord is going to do something bigger and better at Kingsway, not knowing exactly what he's going to do and using pure faith to move in these actions. Are you with me, church? Okay, I had to write this down because I don't know if you're exactly following how these two stories are connecting. So I wrote it down so I wouldn't get it wrong. At one point, we wondered if we were just lying down trying to survive. I'll be honest, we were. And what we realized now looking back on 2016 is the only thing we were lying down was a new foundation. We were laying down the foundation that Kingsway 2.0 needs to be built on. The leadership team, the worship team, our community outreach, the investment that we're going to make, not on ourselves, but on others and the community. These are the changes that we made at Kingsway, and they were dramatic. Some of you may love them, and some of you may not be too sure about them, but I am confident that we have honored God in everything that we've done in 2016, and we have laid a very strong foundation. If that doesn't deserve a praise offering to God, I don't know what does. And by praise offering, we clap. That's it. Wait. Come on, church. Okay, We got one who. So I have a picture. This to me is a picture of what we were doing. This to me is a picture. I want you to dwell on it for a second. Look at this. Does that look like easy work? Huh? That doesn't look like easy work. I'm not sure. I mean, one of our construction contractors will tell me, I'm not sure if they're building this new or if they've tore it down and they're rebuilding the foundation. I'm not sure. But I know it looks like an awful lot of hard work. That's what that looks like. And I'll tell you what else that looks like. It doesn't look very pretty. It's not the kind of stuff you see on a house, you go, oh, that looks good. Yo, I want to spend money on that. No, that looks like, and you can see they don't have the big dumpsters and backhoes there. They're doing a lot of that looks like by hand. I am very excited about the foundation we laid in 2016. I am extremely excited about what we've done in 2016. And it was not easy. It was hard. And some of you have put a lot of energy and effort into where we are right now. And the work and labor you did felt and looked a lot like that. But I'm here to tell you, church, I'm here to tell you that 2016 was about laying that foundation. Yes, it's about foundation evaluations. And so we need to go back now in 2017 and look at that foundation and begin to evaluate it. And it's exactly what I want you as individuals to do right now. I want you to look in your own life and begin to evaluate your foundation. What foundations have you laid in 2016 in your own spiritual life, not just as part of a church? And is that foundation sturdy? Is it solid? Did you make the right decisions? Did you build it in the right place? Think about that. Think about the people in your life. Think about the things and habits you're doing. You know, when you go in and do an inspection of a foundation, you have to get down into the dirt. You got to usually use lights. It's dirty work. It's hard work. When you go and look into the dark places of your life, the dark places of your spiritual journey, and start looking at the foundations there, and tell me what you see. I want you to think about that. That's the present. And so as I think about our present as Kingsway now, as I think about right now, this minute, I say, here's all the foundation that we laid in 2016, Lord. Yeah, we did this. What about the storms that came? Did we endure it? What did you actually do for us in 2016? That's a fair question to ask. If we serve a God and we believe God is real, then he should be doing things in our life. And if he's not doing things in your life, that does not make him not real. That merely makes you to question, what are you doing? Because he's telling you, if you do it, you'll build your house on a strong foundation. So now, I want to talk a little bit about what God has done, because I think it's pretty interesting here. I have so much to say, and I got so little time, so I'm just going to try to say it very quickly. You can follow me. But when it came to our roof, as many of you don't know, our roof is leaking. We have a $200,000 roof that needs to be replaced that we don't have the money to do, and it leaks all over the church. It has ruined some of our rooms in 2015. In 2016, we didn't know what to do, and we wondered, is the roof going to quit on us because we don't have the money and we can't get the loan? Is the roof going to quit on this building, or we have to close the doors because they'll condemn the place? What are we going to do? So we did some renovations. We did the least amount possible that we could get the flooding to stop and to board rooms off and to do different things. Then we did those things, and then we hoped, well, the roof quit on us. Because if it quits on us, we're done for. But you know what we learned? We laid this foundation. We did the things we're supposed to do. We prayed in faith. And you know what we learned? The Lord will never leave us nor forsake us. It's not the roof I'm worried about quitting, because God will not quit on us. He will not leave us nor forsake us. Was it easy? No. Do we have stained carpets and rooms that we had to get demolded and rooms we had to block off? Yeah. Have we managed to deal with the facilities in a great way despite all that? Absolutely. And is the roof still holding up? 100%. That's a miracle. When I think about givings, you know, our contributions, the money that's coming in, our income for the church, which, by the way, we are completely self-funded. This church operates everything about it, from the utilities to the insurance to everything takes place by you and I in this church. That's it. And when we looked at the contributions year after year after year, you know, attendance has a lot to do with that. As attendance go down, contributions go down. And we've gotten to the point where we were so low that we didn't believe enough money would come in to do the absolute basics. And so when we were absolutely scared about our contributions, to being very surprised. And I don't want anybody to get this twisted. I don't want you to think, oh, I know what he's talking about. Some angel investor came and dumped a bunch of money on Kingsway and they made everything right. That did not happen. It happened because each and every one of you committed sincerely to this church and your givings, and the Lord has blessed you for it, and he has blessed this church for it. So we went from scared to surprised. When I think about our budget, we went from not having a budget, we went from absolutely nothing to, with God, nothing is impossible. We went from a budget, when we started our new board, we went and said, how much do we need to spend on, what do we need to spend, and how much money are we going to spend this year? We didn't know. We had to figure it all out. And now we have a budget. And you know what? I think we're going to find out that, I bet you, once the numbers come in, and I'm not 100% sure, but I think we're so close that we may do even better than coming on budget. We may have spent less, and we're under budget. Now that is, with God, nothing is impossible. When I think about the people, that's you guys, by the way. When I think about the people in 2016, if I just think about that for a second, I'll tell you, I was wondering if the people were going to lose faith. Maybe lose faith in Kingsway. Maybe lose faith in who God is. Maybe lose faith in the concept of Christianity and pastors and churches altogether. It's been a tough time. But we went from wondering if we'd lose faith to discovering how faithful all of you are. I've just talked about the contributions, but I'm not just talking about the contributions. I mean, how faithful you are in your attendance, how faithful you are in your volunteering. Do you know how many people volunteered this year to help do things around the church or help throw events or help with things on the roof or helped with rooms around the church? I'm telling you, probably more than half of the church was involved in helping directly something in this church. Church, that's a foundation. You cannot step a foot in a successful church that I know of in Maryland where half of the congregation is involved in helping the church in a volunteer basis. Do you hear that, church? That is a foundation. Miracles. You may say to me, well, hey, isn't church about miracles? Isn't church about what God is doing and how he's moving his hands? We went from wondering if God will move to watching him move. Church, in this very altar, we've seen God divinely heal bodies. We saw a woman healed from cancer. We've seen many other cancer patients be able to endure the worst of the worst through God's strength. We've seen a gentleman whose arm was dislocated healed instantly. We've had people in the hospital who God has been able to have divine healing and divine encounters in the hospital just this past year. We had our AC unit, which literally stopped working. And when the man came, we prayed for it, and it started working. That's a $6,000 answer to prayer. That happened right here in this church. What else do I have? Financial needs. You guys don't all know about it because I don't publicize how many people have financial needs. But plenty of people come to us saying, we have a tremendous need. Something happened in our life, happened in our job, happened. And the church came together and provided financial needs for many families this year. People had Christmases because of Kingsway. And then, well, then there's the road. Talk about foundations. Anybody notice the road? Who noticed the road out there, right? Yeah. Now, as a Carrie, is it Terry or Carrie? Carrie. Carrie may have no idea what we're talking about because I don't know if she's been here. But Carrie, our road was so bad, you needed a Jeep to drive down it to get to church. It was like a rock safari, right? When people, we'd invite people to church, they would pull up to the main street and be like, yeah, I'm not going down there. You know what I mean? People would try to hike it and be like, shoo, I don't even have boots on for this. I mean, it was that bad. I mean, the road was that bad, right? And it wasn't just one area. It was the whole road from beginning to end, all the way up to the front of our building. And to say that we didn't complain or to say that we didn't pray through it, we did. We did. But you see, we began to put our faith into action. We said, just praying isn't enough. Praying is where the faith comes in. It's where the inspiration comes in. It's where God gives us ideas. You know, God gives people ideas all the time. He gives people ideas, million-dollar, billion-dollar ideas. The difference is, do we act on them? So in this case, you know, we began to pray and act on them, and Miss Debbie and I are doing research and hunting people down. And, you know, here's the craziest thing. This craziest thing. We're hunting all across the world to figure out who can help us with our road. Truly and sincerely, and Miss Debbie, she's on that phone. And when I say Miss Debbie's on the phone, come here on a day when Miss Debbie's here and you will see Miss Debbie on the phone. She's got a mic like this, and she is on the phone. I mean, all the time, calling somebody, handling something, making sure business gets done. And she's on the phone trying to figure it out, and we're calling the city, we're calling the state, we're trying to figure it out. And there's a list, you know. Where are we on that list? I don't know, we've been complaining for years. Are we even on the list? These are the questions I'm asking Miss Debbie. She's like, how am I supposed to know? I'm just a secretary. You know, but she's figuring out, she's digging through, she's calling people, she's figuring out, and we find out, yeah, there's a list. There's definitely a list. And I don't know if we're anywhere near the get it done soon part of that list. We allow church members to use our facilities rent free for parties once a month. So one time a month, so 12 times a year, one family can use our gym and throw a big party. For their family, anniversary, birthday, whatever it has to be. Miss Debbie threw such a party for her family, and she had family come, and they, of course, drove down this road. And one of them was particularly interested in how bad our road was and had a conversation with me. They basically asked, why isn't your road fixed? And Miss Debbie's like, well, our road's not fixed because we don't even know if we're on the list and where we're on the list. And this particular gentleman knows exactly where we're on the list. Not only does he know we're on the list, he knows how to get on the list. He knows that our road is so bad, even before seeing it, because he knew about it from his job, that our road should be at the top of the list. And somebody needs to do something about that. Somebody needs to put our road at the top of the list. And so Miss Debbie continues to inquire, and we find out this person who's in her family is the person who's going to put our road at the top of the list. Now, Miss Debbie, did he come through for us? I think he came through for us. Guys, if you don't think that's a miracle, I don't know how else to explain miracles to you then. Okay? This is how God works. This is the foundation that I'm talking about. They didn't just pave our road. They paved the whole thing. And they did it before the new year. They had that done while you guys were all opening presents at Christmas morning. My favorite one. I know it is funny. It is funny. My favorite one. You know, even if we have miracles and we have money and we have people and we have a roof, if we don't have this, yeah, I just don't know. Well, of course, we could say Jesus, but Jesus brings something with him. Jesus brings hope. Brings hope. Life without hope is depressing, it's dismal, it's anxious, it's difficult. The Bible talks a lot about hope, and I wondered if we were going to have hope this year. I wondered if we were going to lose hope. I wondered if our old hope, the hope we relied on before, was beginning to rot and was rotting. And what we learned in 2016 is that our hope wasn't rotting, that our hope was rooting. And we planted some amazing roots in 2016. I've already talked about the things that we've invested in, the VBS and the camps and the Harvest Fest. Those were all roots that we had already, and we just decided to feed and nurture even more. And then in 2016, we decided to do more. We decided to invest in other roots. What did we do? We started a men's basketball league, which is maybe the hottest thing going on Monday nights in Perry Hall. I believe it, because we turn people away. I was at a party last night in Middle River with a bunch of people. I had no idea who they were, and they were talking to me about Monday night basketball at a place called Kingsway. There's no exaggeration there. This year, we sent our first missionary on a mission trip from Kingsway. Now, I know we've done this in years past, Miss Shirley, but not any time recently. We've birthed a missionary in our church. You talk about putting some roots in. We planted a Spanish church. We planted another church that's literally having church right now. Souls are being saved, and they're growing faster than we are. That's roots. We started Wednesday night worship. My point, church, is when you're building foundations, it only works if you're willing to put it into action. It's not enough just to think. It's not enough just to know. You have to put it into action. Prayer is one action. Worship's another action. Reading your Bible's another action. Then God begins to work through those actions and inspire you for more actions. It's called fruit. This is the fruit of 2016. And it gets me very excited. I want to share this with you. If I think about all of this, I want to think about our future. Because if I'm excited about our present, I'm very serious about our future. What do I want to say about our future? And I'm closing here. Give me a minute. Give me 1 minute to say this, Amber, then I'll have you come up, because I want to make sure I don't skip over it. There's a couple of things that we are going to do in 2016. A bunch of things, and we're going to be meeting as a leadership team and talking about what we're going to be doing and building on our foundation that we've already started, doing our foundation evaluations. We're going to be doing all of those things. But I wanted to share a couple things with you. The first thing we're going to do is these photos. And you do not understand how excited I'm about the photos, so I'll wait and save that for next week and the week after. But mark on your calendars, February 10th and 11th. It's going to be an amazing event. You know what else we're going to do? And this one is one that it is have a very soft spot in my heart. But we as Kingsway, we're going to put our money where our mouth is. We're going to put our time where our mouth is. We're going to put our principles where our mouth is. When we say we're going to help people, we are going to actually help people. Do you know how many people are suffering from addiction in Maryland? How many people are suffering from addiction in Baltimore? Do you know how many people are suffering from addiction in the community out there? Do you know how many people are suffering from addiction in our own church? Yes, church. Yes, we live in Maryland. We live in Baltimore. This is true. God believes there's a better way. We are going to start supporting and sponsoring the suffering. Those who are suffering from addiction, we are going to put our money where our mouth is and begin to transform their lives here at Kingsway in a unique and different way, not a church service. And I want you to understand this, church. I believe strongly that's what we're going to do in 2017. What else are we going to do in 2017? For those who are Christians and need to be baptized, our baptism, holy baptism, we're going to do a water baptism right here, and we're going to do it in February. And it's going to be awesome. We're going to do it with the Spanish church. You know what else we're going to do? On Valentine's Day, for this community, last Valentine's Day, we had all these people come, and some people share with me, I got nothing to do on Valentine's Day. I got nothing to do. I got no one to share it with. And sometimes it's a sad moment. But we weren't prepared then. We're going to be prepared now. We got 2 months to prepare a Valentine's Day event, not just for the church, but for the community. And I'm going to have all you help me, anybody that wants to help me. I'm going to throw a massive event in the gym for Valentine's Day for people to come, free of cost, to have some date night with their spouse or have some time where they can come and spend time with church, even if they don't have a significant other. How's that sound? Okay. There's going to be some very exciting things happening in 2017. We have a special speaker coming. Because in order to do the things I want to do, we have to close the doors on some of the things in the past. That's what this altar is about. I don't have time to talk about it right now, but we're going to talk about it next week, the week after, and the week after. We're going to talk about this altar and what it means and why it's here. But in order to prepare for that, we need to close the doors on some things in the past. We need to take stock in what some of those things were. We need to move on from them. And so for that, I have invited Pastor Terry Bailey to come to Kingsway 2 weeks from now. And he will be coming to preach a message to talk about what the Lord is saying to him about Kingsway and sharing what things he wants to share with you about how doors in the past that need to be closed and doors that the Lord is opening at Kingsway. And so for those of you who know Pastor Terry Bailey and would enjoy that message, I ask you to mark that on your calendar. In 2 weeks, he's coming to this church, and him and I are collaborating on a message, and I'm very excited to hear what he has to say and to be a part of that service. So church, my point is we're doing a bunch of different things in 2017, and I know that all of you want to be a part of it. I know you want to be a part of it. This is where I need you to think, because if we're going to do this, if we're going to build on our foundation, I've already told you, I think the church has a strong foundation. I think the church has built it on rock. The question now is, have you, as individuals, have you? I want you to think about your spiritual life. I want you to think about the areas of your life where you can put your faith into action. Sure, it's reading your Bible. Sure, it's praying. Sure, it's worshiping. Those are the basics. What else can you do to put your faith into action? Where else can you look in your own life and say, Lord, do I have a solid foundation here? I want you to think, and I want to share this story with you, and then I'm going to ask you to stand and pray with you. The story goes like this. There was a wealthy home investor who built hundreds, maybe thousands of homes. And he was a small shop, but he was a very profitable and successful shop. And he had a general contractor that he used to build all of his homes. This guy has built all of his homes for him over the course of 50 years. And this contractor wanted to retire, and he told his investor, I'm done. And the investor said, can you do one more house? He says, I don't know. He says, I'll give you a bonus, and then do this last house for me. He says, it's my dream house, and I have a special piece of land picked out for it. So the investor gives him a check for the bonus money, and he opens it, and it's $5,000. Now, to some of you, $5,000 is a lot of money. I get it. But to a man who's been building all these houses his whole life, for pouring his life into this other man's life for 50 years and doing all of this work, and as successful this man was, he was expecting a much larger bonus for all of that time he has spent. But he thought to himself, look, I'll do this last house for him. I get my fees out of this house, and this house is so big and so beautiful. The fees I'll get out of this house, I'll build my own house and retire happily. So he said yes to the investor. He saw the land overlooking a beautiful, water side. And he began to look at the budget, and he began to look at the house, and he was overwhelmed with how magnificent this place would be. And so he began to go to work. But you know what happened? He began to wonder, this guy didn't do me right. had won enough money, began to have some disdain. He began to have some frustration. And so as he was going through the house, his attention to meticulous detail that he always used to have, he didn't have that time. He decided to cut corners when it wasn't so obvious that he was doing it. Some of his subcontractors, when they were doing work, he would turn his back and allow them to use substandard materials or cheaper materials, things that he would never do in the past. Because the house was so big and so large, he thought no one would notice. Thought it wouldn't matter in the end. And he could make a little more profit maybe and go off on his way. He was sacrificing his integrity. But the story ends like this. He finished that house. And on the outside, it looked magnificent. It was gorgeous. And he went to receive his fees, which are exactly what they agreed to from the investor. And the investor gave him a card and told him farewell and happy retirement. With disdain, with frustration, he took the card, he left, he drove home. He opened the card later that night. It was a beautiful letter about how he thanks him for his years of service, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And at the back of the letter was taped a smaller letter, a note. And on that note, the investor donated the house to him and said he wanted to give to him what he believed was his dream all along. And the man sat with such frustration thinking about all the corners, all the workmanship, all the things that he used to do that he didn't do that time. And now he's got to live in that house. A blessing that he almost turned into his own curse. Church, what am I saying to you right now? I want you to think with me of everything you've done in 2016. You aren't doing it for me. You aren't doing it because I'm asking you to do it. The things you do at Kingsway, the things you're volunteering, this is your house. This is the place God has given you. This is the place where you worship. This is the place where God meets your needs. This is the altar where your kids will give their life to Christ. This is the place where you will come when your heart doesn't know where to turn. This is the place you will come when your body gives up on you. This is the place you will turn when the doctors give you no answer, when medicine and prescriptions give you no answer, when chemicals give you no answer, when the world gives you no answer, when the jobs fail you, when your bosses let you down. This is the place you will come. And church, I implore you to look inside and say, maybe that one thing you need to change, that one thing in your foundation, maybe that's just your attitude towards what we're doing, towards what you're doing, towards where God is going. Maybe it is. Because one kink in your attitude could lead to cutting corners on your dream house. And I believe this is our dream house. Will you stand with me?